NCAA tournament coverage is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, the future of awesome, and Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
This music brightens your mood a little bit. It's another one of those gray, dreary days here in Kansas City and across the Midwest. I'm sick of it. And we had that one day last week. Was it Thursday? It was like 72 degrees, and I took my youngest son out to play a short round of golf, the par three over the rock course over at Heart of America. It was great. Back to dark and dreary and cold again. So try to cheer you up a little bit. By the way, this is the March Madness special live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad K. Porter. Very plain. No underscores, no nothing like that. Just at Brad K. Porter. Our producer is Rudy Salazar, and you can follow him on Twitter at NotThatRudy. Rudy is a longtime Kentucky basketball fan, and he's smarting a little bit after their loss to K-State. But K-State plays Loyola tonight at 5:09, Florida State and Michigan at 7:49. Both those games you can catch live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And the other game of note, Sporting KC on the road to take on the Colorado Rapids. That game kicks off at 8 o'clock, and you can hear that on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. Nate Bucati with the call on that one. Right now we want to bring in Jesse Newell, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks for the Kansas City Star. Jesse, how are you this morning in Omaha? Do you have a relatively decent day, or are you like us? Is it cloudy, dreary?
Oh, it's worse than you guys. Yeah, we're close to that storm.
The major snowstorm.
Irma, yeah. So it's a high of 38 today. So, yeah, you guys have it much nicer than we do.
Okay, we'll take it. I guess I shouldn't complain. It's like 47. It's all right. All right, so Jesse Newell, before we drill down into this, the betting line on this game, and I don't bet because my policy is wagering money on kids between the ages of 18 and 23 or 24 is not a good thing to do because I don't trust them, I don't know them, and I don't know how they're going to react. But this line between KU and Duke has been moving all day. I think it opened at like 1 or 1.5 for Duke, and then it's 2, and then it's 2.5. One place is as high as 3. So the thought process either the money is coming in heavy on Kansas, or the thought process is changing.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of.
Or I mean, heavy on Duke. Pardon me, it's coming in heavy on Duke.
Yeah, well, the opposite of that, yeah, because it actually started with Duke favored by 3.5 when the lines opened, and then it got down to 2.5 and 3 is what I'm seeing right now. So that's actually money on Kansas that's coming in to say that people are having faith in the Jayhawks. And I'm going to have trouble picking this game, I already know, with the Quick Scout tomorrow, because I kind of have two different schools of thought when it comes to this game, which is, one, if you look at Duke, it's probably, if not the best team, one of the two best teams left in the tournament. Look at them and Villanova. And offensively, they're great with Bagley, and then Grayson Allen as a supporting piece, and then Wendell Carter playing big, getting a bunch of offensive rebounds, really great offensively, and then defensively seem to find something with the zone late in the season. The second school of thought is I've seen this play out with Kansas before, which is, especially with this particular team, but also with Bill Self, when you go into a game and you say, well, KU's not favored in this game, you don't think they're going to win, the attention's on the other team, that's when Bill Self teams are usually at their best. And you look at this year's games like that, at West Virginia, KU rises from a big deficit and wins, at Texas Tech, conference title on the line, KU comes out and wins. I even think back to last year against Kentucky when Carlton Bragg was suspended and everybody was talking about, College game day was coming to town to Lexington, and KU wins that game. And so Bill Self teams have a tendency when the focus is not on them, or what we like to call fake motivation, when there's a little bit of fake motivation to go against them, that they can kind of get themselves in a fury because they think that people aren't talking about them. That's usually when Bill Self teams are at their best. And so, again, I kind of have two different schools of thought. I think Duke's really good. I think it's going to be tough for Kansas to beat Duke. But at the same time, if there was going to be a game for KU, I think this is better than playing like Cincinnati or playing another team out there that might be talented but doesn't have the blue blood name of Duke that's going to get all the attention that the Blue Devils will here over the next 2 days. So that's kind of the two conflicting schools of thought, and that's probably why that line has moved a little bit towards Kansas, is that people have seen the history of Bill Self teams when they go against these kind of top dogs and when they're seen as underdogs, and that record is pretty good.
All right, we're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, covers the Kansas Jayhawks. He's up in Omaha. Tomorrow's Elite Eight game. I just read a story about barbecue during the break, so got that on my mind. Duke and KU at 4:05 on Sunday. Jesse, your quick scout is due out tomorrow. I always love that. But right now you have posted the five things you need to know about Duke. You mentioned the height, but when you look at the numbers, and Ken Pomeroy calls them third nationally in average height, and you look at the starting lineup, it's not only a great get-off-the-bus-looking team, but a walk-on-the-court-looking team. When they roll out there at 6'3", 6'5", 6'6", 6'10", and 6'11", holy cow. Now, Kansas is a team that's not going to be intimidated by that, but holy smokes, you put out that kind of heat, the names are on the front of the jersey, the way that they've played, that's a lot going on in Duke's favor.
Yeah, I actually was leaving the locker room last night in the tunnel and was walking behind some players that were coming out for the game, and it didn't take me long to know I was walking up behind Duke players, because exactly what you said, Brad, I mean, you could tell, like, okay, those guys, the guys I'm walking behind right now, those guys are going to be in the NBA. They're like a foot and a half taller than me and big dudes. So, absolutely. You know, Duke kind of has everything that you would want. And if you even look at their rotation, it's kind of – Bill Self has always talked back, like, if you were going to have him build his ideal team, what would it look like? And I think a lot of times he kind of harkens back to the 2008 team, which naturally he would. That team won it all and was one of the most dominant efficiency teams that we've tracked over the last two decades. But, you know, he really likes it when you have some veterans in there that play in the rotation, but your most talented guys are the freshmen. And you can kind of see this with Duke, that's kind of what they got. You know, that their most talented player is Bagley, and Wendell Carter's really good too. And you can go down the line with, you know, Trent and Trayvon Duvall. I mean, all these guys really took the number one freshman class in the nation coming into the season, all really good. But yet you have the veteran leadership in Grayson Allen, a guy that's been there before, and again, really doesn't need to hold second fiddle to anybody on that team with what he's accomplished in his Duke career. So you kind of have this really nice mix of super uber talented guys, and then also some veterans in there that have been there before and aren't going to, you know, cower away from the big moment. And so, like I said, this is a tough matchup. I mean, when the bracket first came out and you see Kansas, Duke, Michigan State, you know, my first reaction was like, okay, well, the Sweet 16 game could be a little easier for Kansas, but, you know, there's no favors done in the Elite Eight, and you've seen that play out. I mean, look at the other Elite Eights.
Kansas State right.
plays Loyola Chicago. I mean, Michigan plays Florida State, and Kansas, you know, sure enough, gets the 2 seed. And I think if we were to reseed the teams right now, you'd probably go either Duke Villanova Kansas or Villanova Duke Kansas. And so just kind of unfortunate for KU to be on the one side of the bracket where there haven't been a bunch of upsets. But, again, an opportunity for Kansas, and we've seen what KU has done in the Elite Eight when it's been a big favorite, and that hasn't always looked pretty. You know, you remember last year against Oregon. You remember the VCU game. You remember, you know, a lot of the instances in the past where KU really didn't deliver that well when they were the favorite. So we'll see how they kind of handle an underdog role. Bill Self 1-1 as an underdog in the Elite Eight games so far in his KU career. So I guess they'll get another opportunity here to show what they can do and in a time and in a game where the pressure is going to be definitely on the other team.
All right, you're listening to the March Madness special on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Another note from your article that's been posted. You can go to Twitter, at Jesse Newell, and pick it up there. Five things you need to know about Duke. When you get into stats, and you're really good at not only picking out the interesting stats or the meaningful stats, but also saying that doesn't tell the whole story. So we've been talking about the zone defense that Duke ran very well against Syracuse. And you go into Ken Pom's stats, which you cite in your story, saying the Duke ran their zone 48% of the time this year. But what you go up, and this is where I think stats are important, but also trends are important. And as you note, Duke has gone almost exclusively zone after they lost those back-to-back games to St. John's and North Carolina in February. And that's what they're going to run in this game against Kansas. And it's something that has frustrated Kansas at times this season, but you know, Kansas was able to break down West Virginia and beat them 3 times. So, but it's something we're going to see from Duke almost exclusively, I would bet.
Yeah, no, it's what they do now. It's definitely the, you know, the MO, what they've come accustomed to, and really as they took off at the end of the season, it's because that, that defense really took over and was a big key for them down the stretch. This was a team that struggled defensively. Playing man defense was you know, hanging out in the 40s and 50s efficiency-wise, you know, a couple months ago, and now you look up and they're in the top 10. Now, we've talked about this before. A lot of what has helped Duke in this is that other teams have missed three-point shots. And I would tell you that most of the time, and almost all the time, that defenses can't really force or coax missed three-point shots. Like, that's really difficult. Where three-point defense really is you try to limit three-pointers. But there have been exceptions to that rule, and that exception basically year after year after year has been Syracuse. And Syracuse is 2-3 zone defense. And when you have so much length, that can affect shots. And so, again, it's not a huge factor. It's not as big a factor as maybe some people make it. But you look at this Duke defense, I mean, they're basically trying to copy Syracuse. They're trying to get out to the perimeter, use their length to their advantage, and get out to shooters. And if they are going to shoot threes, make it very difficult on them. So if you're thinking about these two zone games that Kansas played, the ones that pop into your mind immediately are Syracuse and Washington. And those two teams were back-to-back early in the season. KU beat Syracuse by 16. A big reason for that was Devontae Graham just sort of started taking NBA threes and making them.
Right.
So that was really impressive. And, you know, I say that, and I'm joking a little bit about it, but the thing is, Devontae Graham can make NBA threes, and he has proven it all this season. So that's one way to beat the zone. You kind of keep backing up. But the next game against Washington, if you remember, Mike Hopkins was a former assistant coach, longtime assistant coach for Jim Boeheim. So they talked to Syracuse's staff and said, hey, how would you change up? And they pushed way out on the perimeter and basically left Gerald Vick alone at the free throw line to do whatever he wanted inside. And, you know, I talked to Mike Hopkins afterwards. He said, it was a weird game plan, but our assistant coaches agreed that if Gerald Vick goes for 50, he goes for 50. We're going to take our chances and see what KU can do without shooting three-pointers. And KU ended up losing that game in Kansas City. And so maybe some mixture of that is what you'll see from Duke. I mean, obviously Duke understands how dangerous KU can be with three-pointers and how badly, you know, the Jayhawks can put – or how quickly the Jayhawks can put up points if they're getting on a roll from the three-point range. But at the same time, you know, what Washington did was an extreme, and I'm sure KU's coaching staff has talked about how they would attack that same sort of defense if it happened again. So I think at this point, especially one-day preparation, Duke is going to be what it is. It's going to be that zone defensive team that has helped it down the stretch. KU might be able to take advantage more than other teams because KU is a better shooting team than other teams. So that has to be though for Kansas. And in this game, if you're Kansas, if you're an underdog, you got to fire away. I mean, Bill Self even kind of joked about it last night.
He said they're going to take 30?
Well, we know we're going to shoot 33s because it's a zone team. And for Kansas, that probably is the most promising thing you can do because if you look back at the shooting numbers for KU, this three-point offense has not struggled that much. It really hasn't slumped lately. And if that continues against Duke, the Jayhawks have a great chance to advance to the Final Four.
And if Malik Newman continues his pace through the five postseason games, Big 12 tournament, NCAA tournament, Malik Newman is shooting over 59% from downtown, 19 of 32, and he's at 73% from the field. And to me, that's something KU has got to have again Sunday against Duke, against that zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy the uptick he's been on since he seems just more confident and more, I guess, okay with his role in KU's system. I mean, he's not hesitating with shots, and he's making them. And it seemed all along like he was a good shooter. He just, you know, wasn't making them or was hesitant and didn't really know when he was supposed to put up shots or not. But, you know, just to reemphasize the point here, if we go back, just start at the Big 12 tournament and go on to the NCAA tournament, I'm going to read you off KU's three-point percentages each game. 40%, 39%, 56%, 41%, 43%, 46%. And so, listen, anybody can have an off night. There could be a bad night shooting. I'm just telling you right now, this hasn't slumped for KU in quite some time. And this team, if any, is going to be the one that could be a little bit less, a little bit more bulletproof when it comes to three-pointers, just because, again, look at that consistency. I mean, it's hard to get consistency like that from two-point range. And KU is doing that from three-point range, where obviously the reward is so much greater. So for Kansas, Malik Newman's important, but and I'm sure we'll talk about it here briefly, but the one guy that really needs to show up for Kansas that has only done so for basically a half in this tournament is Devontae Graham.
I mean, yeah.
This guy was the Big 12 player of the year, and the last two games has been not himself. So, again, for KU to be, you know, Clemson or Seton Hall, those other three guards kind of filled in and played well and made enough plays for Devontae Graham to not play well. I'm not so sure KU can do it without Graham. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can. There's a possibility out there. It's just going to be very, very difficult. So, Devontae needs to eat his Wheaties tomorrow morning and get back to the player that he was about a month ago because – for Kansas to beat Duke, you figure that everybody kind of has to play one of their good games.
All right, we're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. He's up in Omaha covering the Jayhawks, getting ready to take on Duke, 4:05 Sunday afternoon, live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jesse, another one of your five things to know about Duke, which you can find at the Kansas City Star's website, is Duke's ability to get offensive rebounds. Duke ranks number one in the nation in offensive rebound percentage, 39% they pick up on their missed shots. And that's something that Udoka, Silvio De Souza, if Mitch Lightfoot gets more than 2 minutes, those guys are really going to have to pound the defensive glass for Kansas and not give Duke the second looks that they were getting against Syracuse last night.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at this, there's one huge mismatch on both sides, and that's the four-man versus whoever KU wants to make its four-man. You know, Udoka can go in there, and he can guard either Bagley or Carter, and then there's one of those guys left, and both of them are top 50 offensive rebounders nationally. So if you're looking at this from Kansas' perspective, you're saying, okay, do you put Sue Mikhailik on him? Do you put LeGerald Vick on him?
LeGerald is who I was thinking, yeah.
What do you do with that matchup? Because the potential is there for whoever's not being guarded, either Carter or Bagley, by Udoka to go crazy. And then the potential is there if Udoka gets in foul trouble for both guys to go crazy. And so that's the big concern for Kansas, is that you just get diced by paper cuts over and over. Those guys get fouled. Those guys get offensive rebounds. You know, Sue Mikhailik is tall, but he's actually a really poor defender for how as tall as he is. And so, you know, KU's had to try to scrap on the glass, but they tried to scrap on the glass previously against teams that were not as good at this particular skill as Duke is. Now, what Bill Self did this year, which I think was smart and different from years past, is he would have looked at this in previous matchups and said, what the heck are we going to do for Kansas? And he would have decided to try to go big to match up Duke's big, but maybe put in a suboptimal player to do that. How Kansas will attack it this year is to say, that's nice, Duke. Go get your points on that end. See what you can do. We're going to scrap as much as we can to get those rebounds. Who the heck are you, do you have that's going to guard Sue Mikhailik at the four position? You can have Wendell Carter or Marvin Bagley go out there and chase him. That's fine. We got some plays for that, because Bill Self will now have those guys and try to expose that. We've seen this. You know, I wrote about this a couple days ago, but Sue Mikhailik, there's so many new plays that KU's added to its playbook to try to get him free for open shots. And there's one in particular. It's an action called floppy. It's something that a lot of NBA teams run and Kentucky runs. But basically, he gets to decide which ball screens to run around. He runs around the baseline and runs around the ball screens he wants. And in that matchup, it was Dylan Ossetkowski for Texas, the big lumbering guy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he can't keep up with Svi. So he got caught on one screen, Svi got the ball, put up a three, made it, game over. And so for Kansas, what you're hoping is three is more than two. Three is more than two. Three is more than two. And that you have a good shooting night, and that even if Bagley and Carter go crazy on the inside and completely outman you and completely out-rebound you, all those sorts of things, that you can just hang in there tough enough to get the three-pointers that are coming in the other direction. So for Kansas, you know, again, in previous years, I think they would have tried to match up and put in maybe a less optimal lineup. You know, I mean, you know, the equivalent of this year would be, say, okay, put in Udoka and Mitch Lightfoot together. I don't think they're going to do that this year. They're going to say, okay, take your lumps defensively, because it's going to bring a great benefit offensively with this four-guard lineup with all those guys that can shoot. And then from there, you play to threes and hope that they go in.
We're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Follow him on Twitter at Jesse Newell. Right now he's got the five things to know about Duke. Tomorrow he'll have posted the quick scout for the game, which is always, for me, it's mandatory reading on game day, because I always find out nuggets of information I had not picked up before, because there's a lot to dive through. There's another factor in this game that you brought him up earlier. You brought up Grayson Allen, and nobody is talking about Grayson Allen. And this is a guy who was an All-American, right, or a preseason All-American. And nobody talks about him. We talk about Bagley, and we talk about the height, and we talk about the zone. We don't talk about Grayson Allen. And on certain nights, he can take over a game. Now, he was a little bit off against Syracuse. I mean, he launched up 14 three-pointers and only made three of them. But he's still a player that, if he gets on a hot streak and Devontae or can't control him, or Malik or whoever's on him, that can tilt the landscape of the game as well. Not just, you know, if the bigs aren't hitting on all cylinders, if Grayson Allen goes off, that can tilt the balance.
Yeah, I'm flipping through real quick here. He has a 37-point game this year, a 28-point game this year, a 25-point game this year, you know, a couple 23s. So this is not the typical guy you would say, okay, that's Duke's third or fourth option, but on a given night, he can obviously make outside shots. He can be a disruptive defensive player. He can get in some players' heads, which is something that he tries to do. And occasionally get to the free throw line, too, where he's a good shooter. So, you know, I agree with you. The thing with Grayson is it's kind of interesting. He's kind of done the reverse Devontae Graham, if you will. You know, Devontae, first 3 years, kind of had a secondary role. New Frank Mason was the guy, and Josh Jackson was the guy. And so basically he took open shots and kind of fit in well. But then came back to Kansas knowing that senior year he'd be the guy. He would be the guy with the ball in his hands all the time, and you've seen him take off from there. For Grayson Allen, it's kind of gone in reverse, which is his first 3 years he was the guy. Again, he was preseason All-American this year, and everybody knew his name, and everybody was turning into Duke games to watch him. And this year when Marvin Bagley comes in and Wendell Carter and all these talented freshmen, he's gone in the opposite direction. He kind of became Devontae of last year. He started to defer. And again, it's worked out for Duke. I mean, that's a very, very unselfish thing to do for Allen, you know, a guy that's been in the limelight, that knows obviously how good of a player he can be. But, you know, you've seen some of his offensive numbers go down, at least from a usage percentage, like how much of offensive role does he have with the team. But again, that's because Marvin Bagley might be the second best player in all of college basketball. I mean, he might be the best player in college basketball. So it makes sense to do that, but it's good for Grayson and smart of Grayson and unselfish of Grayson to take on that secondary role instead of trying to force something that wasn't there. So, again, you're right. I mean, we've seen him in the past. He obviously can shoot threes. He obviously can take over a game. He's done it before. He's done it before this season. Now, is he Duke's first option? No, he's not anymore. But he could be the X factor in there just because you don't know what night he's going to go off, and you don't know what night he could have a good shooting night or a bad shooting night, but he definitely has the talent to take over if some of those big guys struggle for Duke against Kansas. I don't see that happening, but again, this guy is, I mean, he scores double figures almost every single game, so he's not somebody to be discounted, and obviously all KU fans will have their eyes on him just because of the history that he has.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't get kicky or trippy or pushy or whatever, but I think KU's got the right guys mentally to not let Grayson Allen live rent-free in their heads for 40 minutes, or at least for KU's sake, I hope they do. Hey, Jesse, I appreciate the time. I know you got a lot of work to get to today with Coach Krzyzewski and the Blue Devils talking here in just a little bit, and then Bill Self and the Jayhawks, and you'll be over at the arena in Omaha. So have fun today if you can, and enjoy the games tonight, and get ready for the Elite Eight tomorrow. Appreciate it.
All right, sounds good, Brad. Thanks.
All right, that is Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Follow him on Twitter, at Jesse Newell. Puts up a lot of good stuff all day and all night. When he's got a game that gets done at 10:30, 11 o'clock, he's putting out information until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He's putting in overtime. So good stuff. Right now he's got a link to his 5 things to know about Duke. Even though you know all about Duke, there's some numbers that you may not know about. And Jesse does a great job of finding those little pieces of information that you kind of keep in the back of your head to notice throughout the course of the game. So good stuff there. And we thank Jesse Newell. We had Brian Haney on already. This is a good show we got going. We're just about due for a timeout here. Coming up next, we're going to step outside of the Elite Eight and the Final Four and the March Madness. And we're going to talk a little Sporting KC with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizard, Sporting KC defender. Talk about Sporting taking on Colorado tonight at 8 o'clock. And you can hear that game live on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. So we'll do that at 1:30. And then at 2 o'clock, back to the basketball madness, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com, K-State and Loyola of Chicago. Tip off at 5:09. One of those teams is going to the Final Four, and we'll have both the games tonight, Loyola and K-State and Florida State and Michigan. Both those games will be live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, this is the March Madness Special. I am your host, Brad Porter, as we broadcast live from the Rowell House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
NCAA tournament coverage is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, the future of awesome, and Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
Welcome back to the March Madness Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. College basketball coming up all afternoon here. 5:09, Loyola of Chicago against K-State. 7:49, Florida State against Michigan. The network pregame coverage, I believe, kicks off around 4 o'clock, but we're technically only supposed to go to 3 o'clock today with our show, but we may be hanging around a bit longer We may be able to hear from Mike Krzyzewski, and I think we're going to hear from Bill Self and the Jayhawks as well. So we're going to be here past 3 o'clock. We're going to put in our own version of overtime. Speaking of March Madness, it's been madness for Sporting KC in their last two games, as all of a sudden they've exploded offensively, which we hadn't seen for, gosh, a couple of years, it seems like. They're on the road in Colorado tonight to play at high altitude against the Rapids. You can hear that game live on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. And joining us on the line now is Nick Garcia, former Wizards Sporting KC defender, played for the U.S. Men's National Team. Nick, as a defender, do you like what Sporting has done offensively, even though they've given up some goals? They're doing things that they haven't done in the last few years.
Yeah, afternoon, Brad. And what's crazy, right, is that at the end of the day, you know, offense is what helps you win games, and, you know, defense is what helps win you championships, and it is nice to see that Sporting KC is starting off, you know, what, 7 goals here. So far, so good for them, but, you know, at times I think they struggle defensively. I think O'Para and Beasler, you know, still have to kind of get their mojo going. But, yeah, I mean, for Sporting KC, to get some wins under their belt, now going into Colorado, Colorado's first home game after having a little bit of a bye, it's not going to be easy. It will definitely be tough for Sporting KC.
Well, we all know there was a lot of excitement for fans of Sporting KC in the offseason with the names of the players they signed, Johnny Russell and Felipe Gutierrez, and you know, Quaze hasn't played as much yet. Maybe he'll work into the system a little more. I think when you saw the signings, there was a little excitement, but honestly, we hadn't seen a lot of those guys because their games weren't on TV in America. But holy cow, have they made an impact on the offensive approach for Sporting KC.
Yeah, you know, and for me, it has to be Felipe. I mean, the yes. guy has world-class credibility with his name. You know, he's played in World Cups. He's played at the highest level. And if you just see how he plays on the field, right? I mean, I wouldn't call him an all-and-out goal scorer. Yes, he has the capability of scoring, but at the end of the day, he's the kind of guy that's going to pull the purse strings. He's going to take the attention away from other players. I tell you what, I'm still waiting for Diego Rubio to kind of open up and wake up and get going here for 2018, which I'm confident will happen. I think, again, what Peter Vermes and Sporting KC are doing is they are very slow out of the gate. They are very methodical, and they tend to kind of, as we know, open up and get going right before the July summer break, and then, you know, kind of comes part two.
We're talking with Nick Garcia, former defender for the Wizards and Sporting KC, Sporting on the road at Colorado tonight. Felipe's been outstanding. Johnny Russell's been outstanding. What I like about Johnny Russell, first of all, he stands out because he's covered in tattoos and he's got a wild haircut. But what I'm seeing from Russell is something I don't think Sporting has had in a long time. And that's a guy that just in his head, he's going to run right at a defender, and be it one or be it two. And I don't know if folks understand how hard that is to commit to doing that, because you want to be, you know, I want to be the finesse guy and I want to round a guy. But going at defenders and going through defenders is very hard to do. And he's a guy that can do it as well as anybody I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, and to that point, right, you know, it's not like the NBA or NFL where, you know, you're a wide receiver or a point guard taking somebody on and you give somebody a basket. You know, in soccer, it's a game of mistakes and one goal is maybe all you get. So to have a guy like Russell out there, I think is phenomenal. I played with a guy in San Jose by the name of Darren Huckabee. He came from England, and he was the same kind of guy where he could run at you. You didn't know what you would, you know, where you would be, you know, left-footed or right-footed. But, you know, he has the ability to whip balls into the box. He has the ability to play make, and I think he has integrated very well here for Sporting KC's offense. And, again, those 7 goals, yeah, Graham Zuzi scored some, yeah, other guys have scored some, but, you know, you look at kind of where these assists come from, and that probably speaks more about the new guys and how quickly they are integrating into this team.
All right, we're talking with Nick Garcia about Sporting KC on the road at Colorado tonight. Nick, we talked in the preseason, and we've talked about it for a couple of years now, about Sporting KC really needing that target forward guy. And Peter Vermes even said after the big signings of Gutierrez and Johnny Russell and Quaze, they still don't have that guy, but there's time left to get him. If they're playing, I don't want to say this well because they're still giving up a lot of goals. If they're playing this well offensively without that target forward, how much better and more consistent can they be if they bring in that type of guy?
Well, I think you can always get better, right? I mean, look at last year as a perfect example. Some would have said Dom Dwyer would have never been traded, or people would have said, you know what, now that we have hindsight, maybe we should have looked to have acquired someone else to bring them on as the heir apparent. And so I think you've always got to. I think Peter Vermes and his staff are always looking to get better at almost every position. And I think for Sporting KC, you know, obviously you're not going to land a guy like Zlatan, you know, going to L.A., but, you know, in this league, it is very fickle. And if you can have the kind of guys season by season that are going to get you goals or at least help contribute, you're making progress. And I think at times, some people would probably argue that in the past, in most recent times, Sporting KC hasn't done enough to kind of bolster their offense. So they're aware of it. It takes time. And goals, again, are what wins you games. So Peter Vermes has, I think, this right formula. He just always wants to improve.
All right, when you look at Sporting, the offense is always going to jump out, and that's what we like. That's the American style. Score, score, score. But I'm sure as a former defender, you have to be a little bit concerned about the number of goals that Sporting has given up so far this season. Because, yeah, they're scoring, but they're giving up 2 and 3 goals a game. And as you mentioned, Matt Beisler, Ike Opara have to get on the same page, and Tim Melia in goal as well. They've got some things to iron out. Are you overly concerned about it, or is this something that's just an early season fluke and these are veteran guys that can figure it out and get it changed?
It's definitely the latter, right? I mean, the preseason I wouldn't say is long. It's probably short, if anything. You know, the guys have been gone with national team duty. They've had a little bit of a break. They are coming back. You know, they've signed new contracts. So I'm not concerned about it. I think it is starting to become an issue. But look at Colorado. I mean, it's not like they've been perfect. New York City is maybe one team that has done it well on both ends. You know, even Atlanta and Toronto have bled goals. So game 4, game 5 here for a lot of these teams in this coming weekend, I think they're all right. So, yeah, I'm not concerned at all. And, you know, having an MVP goalkeeper like Timmy Mila in the back, I think only helps to kind of bolster this confidence that these guys have.
All right, we're talking with Nick Garcia, Sporting KC in Colorado tonight at 8 o'clock. You can hear it on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. I've got to go back and forth between all the college basketball and the soccer, and so that's what I've been doing the last couple of weeks. I got to catch all of it, right?
And it's a lot, right?
It is. The good thing, though, about a sporting game is it's 2 hours and you're done. College basketball, it depends on the reviews and the scores and the fouls and overtimes, and it can drag out at times. When you look at Sporting going to Colorado, what was your – we always talk about this with Colorado, so we'll talk about it again. What was your experience like playing at high altitude? And in your case, would you prefer to get there a day ahead of time or 2 days ahead of time to adjust, or would you rather – fly in and jump off the airplane and play and not be around it all that long?
Well, I think the older, well-traveled Nick Garcia would probably prefer a few days and then to play.
Okay.
You know, maybe skiing and doing all that stuff. But I think, you know, science has proven that, you know, the quicker you can get in and play and out and done, the better. I think if you look at, you know, historically what Sporting KC and the Wizards have done, in Colorado, it hasn't been great. So you could almost kind of say a similar type of thing for games there at Salt Lake. So altitude is very difficult, and for whatever reason, and I was thinking this here before I came on, I think it's more of a mental hurdle than anything else, right? Yes, your body's going to struggle. Yes, it's going to struggle in the summer and when it's, you know, 100% humidity and it's, you know, 5 million degrees out there. But altitude is one of those things that is very difficult to train for. And who knows, Brad? You know, Sporting KC has this new training facility out there in Wyandotte. They have this hyperbaric chamber. They can, you know, adjust to altitudes. So for all we know, Peter Vermes and his staff are going to come back and say, well, you know what, we've been training in this room here for the past 2 weeks. And it is very likely. But altitude is one of those things that you either have or you don't. Heat, cold, you can kind of deal with a little bit easier and a little bit better.
All right, we're talking with Nick Garcia, Sporting KC in Colorado tonight at 8 o'clock. Bigger picture here for Major League Soccer. We've saw the trend in the last probably 2 years of teams spending more money on younger players and not getting the guy on the verge of retirement from England or Spain or Italy or whatever. But there was a big signing this week of an older player who I think can still be pretty good, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. star of the Swedish national team. If they can talk him into keeping play, I know he's retired, but they could always talk him into coming back. But he's been at everywhere. He's been at Manchester United. He's been at AC Milan. He's been at PSG in France. He's been to every big team in the world. And they've been talking about him coming to Major League Soccer in LA for, I think, 4 years now. He's finally coming. And I heard a national talk show, one of the morning shows on ESPN, and a guy, one of the guys who doesn't know very much about soccer said, well, is he as good as David Beckham? And I just about fell off my chair because, look, I'm not an expert at soccer. We worked together for years. You know, I defer to the people who know more than me. But I know David Beckham isn't a forward player. He wasn't brought to the U.S. to score goals. He was brought to sell tickets and jerseys and get eyeballs on television. Totally different position than Zlatan Ibrahimovic. What is Zlatan, in your opinion, what does he have left in the tank? What kind of impression can he make on this league at his age and his injury history?
Oh, you know, I think this is an important piece. Ziggy Schmidt, I mean, so let's dig into this and let's kind of look at it from this angle. Ziggy Schmidt was with Seattle. He was doing all right. He wasn't, you know, doing horribly bad. Gets sacked and released from Seattle, takes a little bit of a break, gets this job in L.A. Our friend Chris Klein has had to kind of revamp that situation. They've moved coaches and players on. So the pressure is there for L.A. I was in L.A. here for their preseason game against Vancouver, and the fans were very upset with that lackluster performance from them. So there is a sense of urgency in L.A. to get results, always. New York, L.A., it doesn't matter what sport it is. I think this is no different. This hopefully will not just be a flash in the pan for L.A. Because they can't afford that. And I think Zlatan's the kind of guy, he wants to rule everywhere and everything that he's doing. He's already said this somewhat boisterously. So I think it can be a good thing for them, but it can also implode here if things don't go well for this team.
The thing I like about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I love saying his name. My family history on my late mother's side, we have a heavy influence from Sweden when our people came over. And so I've always liked him and I always watched him, but I always like his attitude. And the things he says and does are so off the wall. You want to talk about an ego as big as All Outdoors. When he was playing in Paris, they asked if he would ever consider playing there another year. And he said, sure, tear down the Eiffel Tower and put up a statue of me and I'll stay. So what does he do when he signs with LA Galaxy? He takes out a full-page ad in the LA Times, which probably cost a couple $1,000s. Doesn't matter to him. And the full-page ad, at the very top of the ad, it says, Dear Los Angeles. Then the entire page is blank until you get to the very bottom, and it says, You're welcome, signs Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Unbelievable. And it's great theater. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, and you're right. You know, he is a showman. That is what he does. And he does have the ability to back it up as well, you know. And anybody who's out there who doesn't know this guy, go out there, Google him, and Google Zlatan bicycle kick.
This guy, oh, my gosh, yes.
One of the most unbelievable bicycle kick goals that I have seen in a long, long time. And it kind of comes out of nowhere. So, this guy, if he can create or recreate what he has done at PSG, Barcelona, Milan, elsewhere, he will be more and bigger than Beckham. You know, and I'm with you. You know, when people say, oh, you know, it's Major League Soccer and David Beckham, that was all a business play. I mean, at the end of the day, David Beckham wanted to come here. He has wanted to be here for quite some time. He now has business opportunities here down in Miami, and who knows? And you know, who knows? I mean, maybe Zlatan and Beckham and his group are going to get together. We never thought Didier Drogba would be doing his thing here, and now he's in Phoenix and trying to get an MLS team. So these savvy European guys don't just come here now to play. They're also looking for opportunities off the field. So I think that might be another thing Zlatan's looking at as well, because we all know professional athletes don't last forever, and his days are numbered.
Absolutely, and I am certainly looking forward to it. Hey, Nick Garcia, thank you very much. I know you've got your Brookside Soccer clubs rolling for the spring season, and full disclosure, my kids play Brookside Soccer, so I can't wait to get to see them back on the field and playing again, and I know you've got a lot of work to do, so I appreciate your time, especially on a Saturday afternoon.
All right, Brad, I appreciate it. Yep, we got soccer starting here in about 2 weeks and 2,700 kids, so you can imagine.
Man.
all the emails and conversations I'm having right now, but all good.
It never stops. It never stops. Hey, Nick, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Brad, be well.
All right, that is Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizard, Sporting KC defender, Sporting and Colorado. You can hear it live at 8 p.m. on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 a.m., 94.5 FM. Nate Buchady will have the call, and we'll see if we get another Graham Zusi for president call. I don't know. That was pretty good stuff. I didn't see if that won goal of the week. I know at one point it was in second place for MLS goal of the week. It was close, but his left-footed strike from outside the box was outstanding. All right, that was part of the MLS version of March Madness, with Sporting scoring all the goals. We're going to get back into college basketball here, and I'm going to check with Rudy. Do we need to take a quick break? We do. We're going to get back into college basketball. Coming up at the top of the hour, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com will join us. K-State and Loyola, they tip off at 5:09, and you can hear that game live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and that'll be followed by Florida State and Michigan. So we've got an 11 seed, 2 9 seeds, and a 3 seed, all playing for the opportunity to go to a Final Four. This is the March Madness Special, live from the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
NCAA tournament coverage is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Xfinity, the future of awesome, and Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
All right, pick up the tempo a little bit. March Madness, just a couple hours away. Man, well, you have to wait. When you get through the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, by the way, this is the March Madness Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Brad Porter, and we are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad K. Porter. Rudy Salazar is our producer today. And I got a phone call during the break, and when you see it's the person who runs the radio station, Chad Boger, you think, did I say something wrong? Oh, I hope he's not upset about something. But Chad is always out there looking for extra stuff. Stuff that's going to make our listeners enjoy the experience of being here on 810 WHB. So what we have coming up, bonus coverage today of the NCAA tournament from Omaha at approximately 2:50 p.m., we're going to attempt to check in with Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils as they'll have their press conference ahead of tomorrow's game against Kansas. So at approximately 2:50, right around there, they should be getting started. And then Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks are scheduled to speak with the media at 3:40 p.m. And those usually go about 40 minutes. So 3:40 to 4:20 for KU. Duke at about 2:50. And that'll go to 3:20 or 3:30. So bonus NCAA tournament coverage. And so we're going to go well past 3 o'clock to bring you the best college basketball coverage in Kansas City and across the Midwest, 50,000-watt blowtorch. And then after the press conferences, Westwood One's pregame coverage will begin and get you set for the Elite Eight games tonight at 5:09, Loyola of Chicago against K-State. And then it's 7:49, Florida State and Michigan. And both those games, again, live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But one of the things, speaking of March Madness, that's maddening, you go through that first week of games, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and those first games tip off in that first week at like 11:20, 11:10 for that first game. And then you're off and running. You're all the way to 11 o'clock or midnight, whenever that last game is done. And you're flipping around. You got four channels. You're going CBS. You're going TBS. You're going TNT. You're going True TV. Bang, bang, one after another, all the way through the first weekend. Then you get down to the Elite Eight weekend. Got up this morning. I woke up about 6 o'clock. And I'm like, I really got to wait 11 hours for that first game. 11 hours. Thankfully, we're a little closer. Because that first game's at 5:09, so we're about a little over three hours away from that first game. Coming up next, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com is going to join us, and he'll set us up for K-State against Loyola of Chicago. An 11-seed or a 9-seed's going to the Final Four, and they're going to have kids from Kansas City going to the Final Four for one of these teams. So we're going to talk about that with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com, and then we'll get you set up. We'll have Duke coverage at 2:50 approximately, and then we'll have KU press conferences at 3:40. Rudy Salazar and I are going to be here for a long time is what I'm saying. And hopefully you can join us and enjoy our coverage of March Madness. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios. More right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.